Welcome to the drunken ramblings of a stay-at-home son. This is your host, Gio. The topic of this episode is envy. Now, I started recording this episode earlier. I got, maybe 2 minutes in. And then I paused it to answer a FaceTime on Instagram with some friends. And for some reason, it didn't save it. I couldn't continue from where I left off. And now here I am again. I am recording this on the Anchor app. So far, it has not failed me until today. But I only lost about a minute and some change, so I don't really mind. So anyways, I was saying the topic of today's episode is envy. Now, the reason that I feel qualified to talk about this is for the same reason I think almost we all do. Almost all of us are qualified to talk about this. And that's because we've all envied someone, or maybe even our past selves in some cases. We all know what it's like to feel envious, especially in today's society, in today's day and age, as I like to say, with social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, what have you. Celebrities, successful people, fit people, tall people, beautiful people, rich people are all in our faces now. Once upon a time, there was a great distance between us and them. That gap, that chasm of distance, has been closed by the internet, by social media platforms in particular. Now we get to see on a regular basis those that are more successful than us. We get to know more or less how much more than us they have, whether it be in health, in money, in relationships, in friends, in general success, in purpose, in ability, in talent. And I think it's become more difficult for people to have a negative mindset, or people that are insecure, or people who have very low self-esteem. Now, granted, you do not need to be secure, and you do not need to have high self-esteem to become successful. Sometimes insecurity is your best friend. It could be the fuel that lights your fire, that motivates you and galvanizes you to put in the work to become successful, to put yourself out there. But at the end of the day, if you're constantly comparing yourself to people that are more successful than you, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to feel bad about yourself, at least in the interim. And so, envy is one of those things. We all feel it. It's considered one of the seven deadly sins in the Catholic faith and Christianity in general. And it's very destructive. It could ruin relationships. It could lead to depression and suicidal ideation. It could cause people to do extreme and desperate things. Now, there is a difference between envy and jealousy, at least in my mind. For those of you who do not know, I will explain what that difference is now, to me, at least from my perspective, what the difference is from my perspective in particular. The difference between envy and jealousy is this. When you are jealous, such as, for example, a man being jealous of another man talking to his wife or hitting on his wife, for example, is different. That's a different circumstance than somebody, than that same man being envious of another man. Jealousy is justified. Envy usually isn't. I might be jealous that someone, let's say I had a girlfriend, which I do not, but let's say I did, and I saw another guy hitting on her and trying to get her phone number or trying to sleep with her, it would be justifiable for me to feel jealous because she's my girlfriend. We're together. We might have an exclusive agreement to be exclusively monogamous with each other. And so if I see another man trying to sleep with her, I may feel very jealous because me and her have an agreement to be together and to be monogamous. So in a sense, even though a person can't belong to another person, she's not a slave, she would be my girlfriend. And for some other guy to try to come in there and try to sleep with her, I would feel somewhat disrespected. I would feel jealous because he's trying to take, it would seem at least at the outset, from outside of the box, that he is trying to take something that belongs to me. Now, let's say I was envious of another guy because he had a really hot girlfriend and I felt maybe I couldn't get a girl like that. Or he had a nice car that I felt like I could never afford, or he had a really good job that I felt like I could never get. That's different, because now that envy is due to my own mentality. It's due to my own mental issues. There is nothing that that man has that he took from me, that he stole from me. He did not stop me from some opportunity that I could have had in order to get what he has. What he has is usually based on his own merits, on the things that he did, the moves that he made, the actions that he took. He has whatever it is that he has on his own merits. Now, it's okay for me to feel inspired by what that other man has and for me to desire it enough, my own version of it at least, that I'm willing to put in the work. But if I'm just envious, envy alleviates you of the responsibility of putting in the work to earn what it is that you desire. Instead, it more galvanizes you to create excuses in your mind as to why somebody has something that you don't have, or as to why you can't get something that somebody else has. And that's the problem with envy. Envy is almost like a disease. It can corrupt. While jealousy is justified, and inspiration can, as denoted by the word, can inspire, can galvanize to positive action, to constructive activity. But envy usually makes you pessimistic. Envy means that you want something somebody else has, but perhaps you do not believe you could have it. And you'll create excuses. That person is more talented. That person is more gifted. They had connections. Blah, 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 blah. I may see a guy. There's times that I felt envy. I saw somebody who had a lot of money. And I told myself, oh, that guy, he probably has connections. You know, he probably, you know, his daddy helped him. You know, he probably inherited his daddy's business, or his daddy helped him find the job. Or he grew up with friends in school or in college that allowed him to get into that position. Then if I found out that maybe that guy had worked from the bottom to the top and had come from humble beginnings, I might say, oh, well, he just, you know, he probably did something in something negative, something criminalistic, something shady in order to get there. Then if you find out he's legitimate, then, oh, okay, well, maybe he's just more talented. He's luckier than me. He has gifts that I don't have. Or maybe it's because of he's of this particular race or that particular ethnicity. So that's something to think about. No matter what, when you envy someone, you create excuses as to why they have something that you don't have. Instead of being inspired. See, if you're inspired, that means that now it is your turn to put in the work to go and get that, to get what's yours, to get what you desire. But envy, with envy, it kind of alleviates you of the responsibility to do the work. You can just sit there and seethe and stew in your own insecurity, your own misery, your own unhappiness, your own unfulfilled potential. And I've spoken on this podcast before about unfulfilled potential on previous episodes. But unfulfilled potential corrupts. Usually people that are miserable, people that put other people down, people that are constantly negative and pessimistic, one of the reasons is because they're unfulfilled potential. They're not giving anywhere near their best, even half of their best, in order to improve their circumstances in their lives. They're more capable, significantly more capable, than they are willing. And if this is the case for you, then chances are you're going to be envious of a lot of people. You're going to be envious of people who have more money than you. You're going to be envious of people who are better looking than you. You're going to be envious of people who have nicer material possessions than you. You're going to be envious of people who have better relationships than you have. You're going to be envious of people that come from more loving families than you come from. You're going to be envious of people who have better sex lives than you. You're going to be envious of people who have more stable mental health conditions than you. You're going to be envious of people that are fitter and have nicer bodies than you, and et cetera, et cetera. You're just going to be envious all the time. And that's going to be exceptionally disadvantageous and detrimental to your psychological health. It's going to wear and tear on you, no matter what. That's just the reality. If you hear any type of talking in the background, by the way, you hear like a woman's voice, that's my half-sister who comes to my house to, she's the caregiver for my mother, and she's very loud because I think her hearing is not very good, so she talks louder than is needed. And the apartment in which I live in doesn't have very good insulation. So you could literally carry an entire conversation with another person from one room to the next with the doors closed. It is very annoying. But I don't really know what to do about it. And if I tell my relatives to be quiet, to quiet down, they're disrespectful. They're not very considerate of other people. They'll just get bad. They'll just get mad, should I say. Excuse me. And it'll be a reason for them to galvanize them to get into an argument. And to start to feel some type of way. That's just how they are. So, I don't bother saying anything. We just have to bear with it. Particularly myself, because I have to fucking hear them and then try to concentrate on recording the topic of this fucking podcast in the first place. But anyway, as I was saying about envy. There you go. I envy people who live in better, who have better home situations than me. Who have relatives that are less loud and more considerate and respectful. I envy people who maybe live in better apartments with better insulation. You know, who have complete privacy and don't have to sit there and hear the shit out of somebody in the next room. Unless that person is screaming their fucking head off. I envy people who have better doors to their room than mine. I have this flimsy fucking wooden door that is like a, you know, wooden panels. It's not solid. Like the door probably weighs like less than 15 pounds. If you were to take it off the hinges. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's a lot of situations that I envy. I envy men that are taller than me. Because I'm short, as I've mentioned before on this podcast. I'm 5'7", 5'8". Which is below average height being 5'9", 5'10". I envy men that have more money than me. I envy men that have good jobs. I envy men that are better looking. I'm a good looking guy, but there are plenty of people that are better looking than myself. I look at pictures of male models sometimes, and I'm like, fuck, why couldn't I look like that guy? I envy, you know, very successful actors or celebrities that are considered sex symbols. You know, like the young Tom Cruise or the young Brad Pitt, even Brad Pitt now, he's aged very gracefully. George Clooney, Jason Momoa. I envy these people. I'm like, damn, man, they got the looks, they got the height, they got the wealth. And it pisses me off. I envy them. But regardless of what it is that they had, that they started off with, they still put in work. They put in a lot of work to get to where they were. They did a lot of things that I am not doing, that I have not done. They took a lot of opportunities that once upon a time I would have thumbed my nose at because I would have felt like I was too good. And so that's a problem. We have to think when you envy someone, you have to question why it is that you envy them. Are you envying them from a source of your own insecurities? Because you feel like, you know, they're better than you for this, that, and the other? Or are you envying them because they put in work to be in a particular place in their life that you have not put in the work to be in? Is your envy justified? If it's envy, it probably isn't. If it's jealousy, that's different. Because jealousy, like I said, is when something belongs, when you have something and somebody's trying to take it. You know what I mean? So it's understandable for you to be jealous of something that belongs to you. Such as a significant other or a material object, should I say. If somebody's trying to take something, you know, if you had a coworker that if you were in a superior position, if you had a subordinate at your job and that subordinate was going around talking behind your back to the position, to the, you know, supervisor above you or to was going above your head to try to get you fired in order to, you know, for them to take your job, it would be reasonable for you to feel negative about that person, for you to feel jealous because you would want to jealously guard your position, your job. You wouldn't want somebody to try to get you fired for no reason. And so it would be understandable for you to be jealous. Jealousy is somewhat understandable. But envy, not so much. Envy is usually always negative, and that's because it alleviates you of the responsibility of doing what it takes to get into that position. And remember, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, it's not that where great power comes great responsibility. It's that where great responsibility comes great power. Whatever you have responsibility over, you have power over. And the greater the responsibility you have over something, the greater the power that you have over it. People want power, but they don't want responsibility. That's what they don't understand. People want power, but with no responsibility. What would be the purpose of having power without responsibility? That doesn't exist in this world. Any creature, any being, any living thing that has power is because it has some kind of responsibility that it fulfills, a niche that it fulfills within its ecosystem. Within the ecosystem that it inhabits. That's just a simple fact. So, as I was saying, that's just life, yeah. I just took some sips of my Coke Zero and vodka. pretty good. Starting to feel nice. So as I was saying about envy, about responsibility, about power, you have to take responsibility. A person will envy somebody that's fitter than them or healthier than them, but then they won't take responsibility for their own health. They desire the power of being physically fit, the power of being physically healthy, the power of being physically attractive, but they don't want to accept the responsibility for their own fucking body and go to the gym and exercise, or go, you know, start, you know, a calisthenics program, start jogging, start, you know, eating cleaner, maybe eating less food, cutting back on their calories, counting their calories, being aware of their macronutrients and micronutrients. So they'll take no responsibility for their body, but they'll sit there and have the audacity, the fucking gall, to envy somebody with a better body than them. So how the fuck do you think this person, 9 times out of 10, got this body? Unless they're super genetically gifted. Unless they're a genetic anomaly. Chances are they work for that body. They exercise. They do things that you're not doing. So how the fuck can you expect to receive the rewards of an action that you're not taking? It doesn't make any fucking sense. But people will sit there and have envy and then not do anything. They'll just use that envy to justify a woe is me mentality, a victim mindset, in order to continue to justify being in the state of mind that keeps them from taking the actions that they need to take in order to change their circumstances. And that's the problem. That's why I think envy is so destructive. I have myself have suffered from envy since I could fucking remember. I've always had envy for friends that maybe were stronger than me in the gym, could lift heavier weights. I've had envy for people, men in general, that are taller than me. I've had envy when I seen guys when I went out to bars and clubs that were maybe better looking than myself. I've even had envy for guys that had nice haircuts, where I saw a guy with a nice haircut and it looked good, and maybe at the time I couldn't afford haircuts because I was broke, and I was mad. I was like, fuck, you know, he's got a nice haircut. You know, maybe I would look better than him if I had the same haircut. I wish I had that kind of hair, that hair texture, or I wish I could let my hair grow as long or something. And I felt, there's times that I felt pangs of envy, if you will, just off of a haircut that somebody had that was really nice that maybe at the time I couldn't afford. Or maybe that that I didn't have the patience to let my hair grow out in order to get. Isn't that something? To envy somebody's fucking hair when you have a full head of hair. It's one thing if I was bald, if I was balding, because that wouldn't be my fault. It would be a genetic condition. If I was prematurely balding and then I envied somebody that had a nice full head of hair. But it's another ball game, okay? When you fucking have a full head of hair and you're envious of other people's haircuts. When all you have to do is get a fucking job. Again, these are the drunken ramblings of a stay-at-home son, because I've been unemployed for quite some time. And envy a person because of the haircut that they can afford to get. Which is like, what, $25, $30 at the most, depending on where you're going? Like, Jesus fucking Christ, you don't need to be a billionaire to get haircuts. You know what I mean? You don't need to be a millionaire. You don't even need to make six figures to get haircuts on a regular basis. There's motherfuckers that work at McDonald's and get haircuts on a regular basis. So that's how you know you got a fucking problem, when you're just unhappy with everything. When you're just looking for a reason to be unhappy. You know? And I've been caught doing this because I've been a member of the forum on GLL, the Good Looking Loser community that I've also mentioned before on this podcast, started on the website goodlookingloser.com by a man named Chris Duotis, the founder of the website, of the blog. It's a blog, technically, that helps men, you know, get in shape, learn more about female psychology, get laid, and various other things, become more successful. It has as a inspiration/hardcore self-improvement website, blog, should I say. And there's times where I was a member of the forum, and I would post on different threads where there were different users posting that were succeeding in, let's say, getting laid, you know, getting girls. And they all had different qualities. Men that, if you were to put them next to each other, would have almost very little in common, with the exception of their success with women. Some of them were tall, some of them short. Some of them were jacked, some of them skinny. Some of them were ripped, some of them kind of fat. Some of them were wealthy, some of them poor. You know, some of them were hung, some of them not so much. Don't ask me how I would know this. It's a website that also promotes penis enlargement, though I have not the best experience with penis enlargement. Very little success in that endeavor. But nonetheless, that's funny. That's definitely a factor. That I've been unhappy, because there are times that I posted in different threads and said, oh, okay, this guy's getting success because he has this. And that's why I'm not getting success. Then I posted another thread. Oh, this guy has this. This user has this. And I don't have that. So that's why I'm not getting success. So I would sit there and say, if some guy has a lot of money and nothing else and he's getting laid left and right, I'm like, man, he's getting laid because he has a lot of money. And the reason I'm not is because I don't have a lot of money. Then another guy could be completely broken. He's super jacked. I'm going to be like, damn, the reason he's getting laid is because he's on steroids and he's super jacked. And maybe I need to get on steroids because that's the only way I'm ever going to get laid left and right. And then another guy, it's just like really tall, and I'll be like, damn, man, the thing about it is that that guy's really tall, and that's why he's getting laid, and that's why I wasn't getting laid at the time. That's why I wasn't having the success that I wanted. And then another user, by the name of, his username on the GLL forum is Sweater Vest. Don't ask me why he chose Sweater Vest, but Sweater Vest. And he said, listen, I noticed something about you. You every time you post on a thread, you're always comparing yourself to the OP, the original poster, and you're always saying that the reason that they're getting laid is because of this particular quality, and that because you do not possess that particular quality in particular is the reason why you're not getting laid. Meanwhile, you're not hitting on girls, you're not doing day game, you're not putting in your best foot forward, and you're not giving it your best. You're just basically sitting at home and mostly just browsing and posting on the forum. And it was true. At the time, it was true. And I realized that, and I was like, holy shit. And I posted back, holy shit, I didn't even notice this about myself. You literally caught my bullshit. You caught me within the confines, basically, of my own head. Where you're constantly creating excuses in your own mind as to why you're not getting anything. And I've seen this a lot. I've seen this on internet forums. I've seen this in person. I've met guys in person, taller than me, good looking, in reasonably good shape, creating excuses as to why they can't get laid. You know what I'm saying? And you best believe that a lot of the same excuses that men use as to why they can't get women to like them, to want to have sex with them, is the same excuses that sometimes men use as to why they don't have a good job, as to why they don't have a job, as to why they can't get in shape, as to why they're not healthy, as to why their relationships are suffering, as to why they can't get along with their relatives, as to why they don't have any friends. Blah, 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 blah. So on, etc., etc. Just excuses, excuses, excuses. And that's the thing about envy. Envy will motivate you more often to make excuses than it ever will to take responsibility for the thing that you're creating excuses for, to change the circumstances of that thing, and therefore no longer have to create excuses for it. That's the problem with envy. Inspiration is different. Inspiration is almost like the opposite of envy, the antithesis of envy. It's on the other side of the spectrum. But envy, different ballgame. And that's why I feel qualified to talk about it, because I've been envious a lot. I've been envious a lot. Again, it's one of the 7 deadly sins. I've been guilty of all 7 of the motherfuckers, and maybe another 14 on top of that. But envy especially, it's one of the things that has almost defined me and for many years of my life. It still does in many ways, because I'm still envious a lot of the time. But now the differences between myself today and myself from years in the past is that my younger self is the fact that I recognize it for what it is. You know, it's often called the green demon, you know, because I believe the color green. If sins have a color, envy's is green. You know, there's that old saying, you're green with envy. I guess it's yellow is associated with fear, and green is associated with envy. I don't know why that is. What the fuck green has to do with envy? But nonetheless, at least I don't know. Maybe you could Google this bullshit and find out. Maybe some of you can post in some comment on some podcast platform why that is, and maybe one day I'll find it and be thus enlightened. But nonetheless, I've always felt that I had that green demon on my back, motivating me to be a hater, to be drinking that hater raid, to hate on other people. Because that's another thing, when people are haters, you've heard this before, I'm pretty sure. This is a term I think originally coined by the hip-hop, somewhere in the hip-hop community. But when somebody's a hater, usually when people have haters, it's because that person or that group of people, those particular type of people, are envious of something about you. Either whether your success or your influence or your fame or your finances or your talent or your ability or your looks or something. And that's usually when people have haters. And make no mistake, sometimes your haters could be the ones who soup you up, who prop you up the most, who pedestalize you and memorialize you the most. Believe it or not, I've experienced this in the past. When I was younger and I started working out, lifting weights in high school, and I started getting a good body, that I had haters. I had close friends that envied my physique envied my strength with weights in the gym because they didn't want to put in the work and they were overweight and they looked like shit for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, thyroid dysregulation. Maybe they just ate too much. Maybe they were just predisposed to obesity or something. And so they would look at me and they would talk about, oh man, your body's so great. You're so this, you're so strong, you're so whatever. But I could tell, like I could hear the undertone of negativity in there. I could see the phantasm, the ghost of hate. It would be almost as if green fucking curlicues of smoke would fucking emanate from their mouths as they spoke my praises. As they hyped me up. You know, because they would always complain as to why they couldn't get in shape. Or complain as to why they couldn't get strong. Or complain as to why they couldn't do this, that, and the other. They would complain a lot, despite the fact that they had other characteristics that they had over me. You know, things that they were significantly better at than myself. I've experienced this. You know, people that were envious of my own physical capabilities. When I was, you know, at the time I was working out like almost every day, consistently, putting in a lot of work, going, you know, training until failure, going balls to the wall, and they weren't doing shit a lot of the time. And they were super inconsistent whenever they did make an attempt to do something. So that's the thing about envy. Somebody will envy how much money you have, but then they don't work. Or they work, but they don't have the balls to leave their job for a better one because they're afraid they can't get it. It's interesting how much of envy is psychological. Not even physical, not genetic, not evolutionary. Even though there are, I believe, some evolutionary reasons or some evolutionary prerequisites, assuming that's the right word, for it, for envy. For the notion of envy. I'm going to explain that now. But first, I'm going to take some gulps of my alcohol. So, what do I mean by evolutionary reasons for envy? Well, I remember reading about this in an article on the internet somewhere. I do not remember. It might have been a YouTube video, but I'm pretty sure it was an article. I think I was doing research on envy because I noticed that I had so much of it. I envied friends that were getting laid at a time where I wasn't a virgin. There was that too. There was a time, as I mentioned before on this podcast, where I lost my virginity at 22. And all my friends had lost my virginity before me, and I envied all of them. Because all of them had girlfriends, and all of them had gotten laid, and I felt like I was missing out. And it pissed me off. But first, before I go into that, I'm actually going to take a piss right now. But instead of pausing the podcast, I'm actually afraid to pause it. Because I don't want to lose these. We're 28 minutes in now, going on 29 minutes, and I don't want to lose this progress just in case. So I'm going to pee, and maybe you'll hear me as I'm fucking taking a piss in my bathroom. Hear that stream, baby. That's me breaking the seal from the alcohol consumption. In all fairness, I did drink a lot of water, though, before I started drinking, before I started recording this podcast. I was hydrating because I ate some pizza earlier, and pizza, as some of you may know, is high in sodium. Cheese, anything with cheese usually is. That's part of what gives the sodium, salt. It's part of what gives cheese its flavor. And sodium has the tendency to dehydrate you, to make you thirsty. Especially if you eat a lot of it. Especially if you're somebody like me who's used to being well hydrated. Drinking a lot of water on a daily basis. So, as I was saying about evolutionary prerequisites for envy. Once upon a time, let's say when humans, Homo sapiens, discovered agriculture. If there were two farmers, and there was, let's say, a drought or a flood, whichever way you want to look at it, a lack of water or an overabundance of water, and either crops didn't grow or crops were lost, and one farmer did things in a particular way that ensured the survival of his family, whether he, you know, saved up, you know, stored the food, stored the surplus from many years before, whether he rationed the food out in a particular way, whether he used particular strategies to deviate the excess water from his farm so that his crops wouldn't drown. And he was successful. He would survive. And then the other farmers, their survival would be jeopardized. Because it was a time before supermarkets, a time before homeless shelters, a time before charity. A time when if your crops failed, your family might starve. You would have a very hard fucking year. A lean year, if you will. Lean years where you may, you know, the survival of your family would be in jeopardy. Your kids, your legacy would be jeopardized. So the farmer, one farmer, had to look at the other farmer. The farmer who did things wrong and wasn't cautious and maybe lost his crops, his ability to feed his family, would have had to look at the other farmer and say, okay, that why did he succeed and why did I fail? And then be galvanized either through anger, inspiration, sheer willpower, to begin to adopt that other farmer's strategies in order for his own farm, for his own crops to succeed and grow, so that he could feed his family and not make the same mistake twice and damn near guarantee the death of him and his family. And so with that being said, envy kind of originates almost, you could say maybe that's the origination of inspiration, kind of. But not exactly. Envy is meant to kind of make you look at another person, desire what they have, but then you're supposed to become inspired to do the work to get whatever it is that you desire. I don't think envy is totally bad, totally morally corrupting. I just think that it's one of those things like alcohol, like that I'm currently under the influence of, or other drugs, narcotics, marijuana, cocaine, whatever, something to be had, to be consumed in moderation. It's something that is okay as long as you know how to cut it off. If you envy someone for a little bit and you're like, fuck, I wish I had X, fill in the blank, their body, their health, their finances, the type of sexual partners that they attract, whatever. And you envy them for a time, and then you're like, you know what? I'm fed up with this bullshit. I'm tired of not having these things. I'm going to go out and put in the work to go get these things. Then envy would be good, because that means envy for you in particular was the precursor to inspiration and galvanization towards putting in the work, towards effort. But if all you do is envy and hate from the sidelines and never move, never make a play, then you're fucked. You deserve nothing. Remember, as I've said before on this podcast, the world owes you nothing. Especially if you're a man. Women owe you nothing. The world doesn't give a fuck about you. Males are considered the expendable gender in today's day and age, particularly in the West. We're the expendable gender. Maybe not so much in the East, but in the West, definitely. We're the expendable gender. You know? The society is slightly, at the very least, slightly gynocentric, vagina-centric, at least from what I've seen. I could be wrong about this. Feel free to correct me. I by no means think that I'm right on all things. I by no means think that I know it all. This is just my personal experiences. And that's what I try to record on this podcast, are my personal experiences. I try not to talk about anything that I do not have direct personal experience with. Even if I have a lot of theoretical knowledge on it, I don't like to talk about it unless I have direct experience, because of the fact that I don't want to be one of those podcasters that talks about shit that they don't really know what they're talking about. It's all theory. They read it in a book or saw it on a site, and they don't have no personal experience. Personal experience is key. Not only is it the most valuable kind of knowledge, as is said, the old quote, there is no substitute for experience, but it's the only authentic knowledge. It's the only knowledge that's really true to you that makes you unique. Even if your experiences are similar as someone else's, at least they're your experiences. So maybe the things that I talk about sometimes on this podcast are redundant. Maybe you've heard this all before on some YouTube channel or some other podcast that you listen to or some other videos that you watched or whatever, what have you. But at least from me, you're getting it from personal fucking experience. It's not theoretical. I don't want to talk about anything theoretical if I could help it. Even though I may spout some theories on this podcast from time to time, it'll be theories that may or may not, depending on how you look at it, support my experiences. Not my lack of experiences, but my experiences. You know what I mean? And I think that's important. Maybe some of you value it, maybe some of you don't, but nonetheless, I value it, and that's what I try to produce, what I value, my personal experience. So, as I was saying, that's envy. And so envy, if envy can galvanize you to make the right, to do the right thing, to make the hard choices, if you will. And I've spoken about that before on this podcast, hard choices versus easy choices. Hard choices equals easy life, easy choices equals hard life. I've lived the hard life because I've made a lot of easy choices. Nonetheless, some of those easy choices were made because of envy, believe it or not. Because I envied something somebody had, but I didn't want to put in the work. I would rather have believed at the time that the reason they had something that I don't have, that I desire, is because they were just luckier than me, or they had some gift that I don't have, or they were just blessed in some way that I'm not blessed. They were gifted in a way that I'm not gifted, and that's the end of it. End of story, bottom line, point blank and period. That's it. I can't do nothing. I have to stew in my situation. And that's bullshit. It really is. No matter who you think you are, no matter how strong of an inferiority complex you may have, it's bullshit. Part of what makes me recognize it as bullshit is my decision to at least start trying, to at least start, at least begin to try, to be and to act like a fucking adult. And I spoke about this on a previous podcast called Adulthood. I suggest you listen to that podcast. Granted, again, I'm not the wisest or most intelligent man in the world. Remember, there is a difference between intellect and wisdom, just like there is a difference between envy and jealousy, in my perspective. Some people may think envy and jealousy are the same thing. Some people may think that intellect and wisdom are the same thing. And they're not. Remember how I said, intellect is just knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge and application. And there's the difference between knowing something and being able to actually deciding to apply it. And that's also the key difference between being ignorant and being stupid. They're not the same. Some people think they're the same thing. That ignorance and stupidity go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin, and they are absolutely not. To be ignorant of something means that you don't know any better. To be stupid is to know better and still choose not to do better. That's the difference between ignorance and stupidity. When you know better and still choose not to do better according to what you know, that means you're fucking stupid. And there's a lot of stupid people in this world in today's day and age, as I like to say, because of the fact that knowledge is at an all-time high. We are living in what is coined, after all, as the information age because of the internet. There's a lot of misinformation on the internet. Granted, a lot of false bullshit, but there's a lot of information as well. So people are capable of knowing more than ever, increasing their intelligence, their intellect, their knowledge base more than ever. But that doesn't mean they're going to execute on this knowledge. Some people know better and still choose not to do better. Therefore, since the population, since the percentage of people who know better but still don't do better is at an all-time high, stupidity is at an all-time high. Because people are not necessarily doing better just because they know better. We've all seen this. We've all seen celebrities say stupid-ass shit, coin stupid-ass quotes. We've all seen people act mad ratchet on fucking Instagram, on different social media platforms. We know that racism is still alive and well despite, you know, evolutionary and scientific knowledge of the difference between races and ethnicities and what have you, and the completion of the Human Genome Project and whatnot. Ignorance is less than ever, but stupidity is higher than ever. That's the reality. And so that's the same thing when it comes to jealousy and envy. And when it comes to intelligence and wisdom, I don't claim to be neither the smartest nor the wisest. But I have experience with envy, and so I'm trying to relay to you that experience so that maybe, hopefully, by listening to this podcast, you can be inspired to avoid making the same mistakes that I've made. That's the key. Now, granted, this is not meant to be an inspirational podcast. After all, the fucking title is The Drunken Ramblings of a Stay-at-Home Son. I mean, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm not exactly in the most inspirational position. But I'm in a position that will hopefully let a listener know, make a listener aware of, that even if you are a daily drinker who happens to be a stay-at-home son, whether you're 18 or 48 or 58, you can do something semi-constructive with your time, and you can still at least practice awareness of your flaws, of the things that you do that maybe you shouldn't, as well as awareness of the things you should be doing that maybe you don't. And so it starts with awareness. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, trying to get people sober from their addictions. I also have a podcast on addiction, but anyway, not to advertise my own podcast episodes on my own podcast episode. Whatever. As I was saying. What the fuck was I saying? You see, this is what happens when you consume alcohol. I'm going to take some more sips of this alcohol, by the way. That's what I was saying. Fuck. I lost my train of thought. I was really about to say some gangster shit. Some gangster shit. I was really about to spit some wisdom right now. No, I feel like an idiot because I lost my train of thought. I will not be pausing this podcast in order to think about what it is that I was going to say. I didn't even pause it to take a fucking piss, so it's going to come out how it comes out. I was saying something. Fuck. Stupidity is at an all-time high, blah, blah, blah. But there's less ignorance. I have experience with envy, my personal experiences. I'm trying to relay that. Anyway, moving on. Envy. We cannot absolve ourselves of the responsibility of improving our own lives. We cannot put that responsibility on other people because it is not their responsibility. It's not a society's responsibility. Your own self-improvement is called self-improvement for a fucking reason, because you yourself are responsible for that improvement. So if you don't choose to improve, then it's nobody else's fucking responsibility, then you just won't improve. And as I've mentioned before in this podcast, stagnation and entropy are two sides of the same coin. They definitely are. Different than ignorance and stupidity, as I've mentioned before. Because unlike ignorance and stupidity, which are different things, stagnation eventually equals entropy. It just requires a little bit more time. Stagnation is a procrastinated form of entropy. If you choose not to improve and you stay the same, you don't try to learn things on a regular basis, you don't try to constantly evolve, then eventually you're going to stagnate, right? You're going to be in the same position in the same circumstances. Eventually, the world moves on without you. The world moves on. Time doesn't stop for anybody, as the old saying goes. So time continues even when you stop. The world moves on. Society continues to evolve. Civilization keeps going. Continues to accelerate. Technology advances. Even as you choose to sit on your ass and do nothing. Which means sitting on your ass and doing nothing and not deciding, not making a decision, is still a decision. It's the decision to not do nothing. It's the decision to not decide. Therefore, the world moves on and you stand still. So if the world's moving in one direction and you're standing still, then what's happening? That means that you're falling further and further and further behind. So the difference between somebody who stands still and somebody who is actively moving through their own efforts in a negative direction in a direction that is detrimental to their future, to their quality of life, to their health, or what have you, is very small. The difference between somebody who's moving in a negative direction, such as someone who's a hardcore drug addict, a dysfunctional drug addict, a heroin junkie, or a dysfunctional alcoholic, or somebody who just, you know, has complete disregard for their health, and somebody who's not doing shit to improve the quality of their life, is very small. The only difference is that the person that's taking negative actions will end up at rock bottom faster. That's the only difference. But the other person who's stagnating, who's not moving at all in the right direction, who's not moving with the times, changing with the times and evolving, it's only a matter of time before they get to the same position. It's just going to take longer. If anything, believe it or not, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that it is actually almost better to go out into the world to make a bunch of mistakes, do a bunch of fuck-ups, and hit rock bottom real quick. Because the faster you hit rock bottom, the faster you can get up from that rock bottom position and begin climbing. If you're somebody like me who has stagnated for many years due to unemployment, due to mental health issues, due to a disregard to your physical health, whatever your reasons may be, or it could be all of the above, it would almost be better for you to make decisions that would, you know, that would be considered fuck-ups. Within reason, of course. I'm not talking about go out and become a serial killer or a rapist or a pedophile and go to jail and do 25 years. But you know what I mean. Like, it's almost sometimes better to accelerate your own downfall just so that you can begin to get up from that downfall faster. The faster you hit rock bottom, the faster you can get up and start moving upwards. I truly believe that. Because some people, they're delaying rock bottom. And then what happens is by delaying it, you're still going to hit it. So now by the time you hit it, you're just going to be older. You're going to have less virility, less energy, less youth. Maybe even less resources to get yourself out of it. So it's one of those things. It's like being a drug addict. A drug addict who's 20 and starts to look for help is different than a drug addict, slightly different at least, in some regards, than a drug addict who's 40 and starts to look for help. People feel less sorry for the 40-year-old because they feel like he's old enough to know better. Even though, like I said before, adulthood is a decision, it's not a byproduct, or only a byproduct of maturity and age, of time passing, of the development of the prefrontal cortex. So, if you hit rock bottom fast, you know, let's say when you're young, then people will feel sorry for you. You can start getting help. You could begin turning your life around at a younger age and put it past you. You can close that chapter of your life. Can be a shorter chapter that you can turn and move on to better chapters of your life. Your story could turn out to be better with less lows. But if you delay it, the lows last longer. So it's funny how that works. And a lot of us delay that rock bottom. But anyway, envy. We envy other people, we envy circumstances, we envy maybe even our past selves. Some of us envy the position that we used to be in compared to the position that we're currently in. That's an issue. People that are constantly reliving their, or trying to relive it, at least, their prime years, the good old days, if you will, you know, filled with fucking nostalgia. I've heard people say this before. I've seen men, close friends, that were at the top of their game when they were in their early to mid-20s. You know, lots of jobs, making money, getting pussy, in the prime of their health, looking amazing, the envy of many. And then by their late 20s, they fell off. They peaked early. And then what happens is, they're constantly reliving, telling other people the stories of the shit they used to do. They're 30, telling people the stories of the shit that they were doing when they were 23, 24. They haven't moved on, because those were their prime years and their life is just getting steadily worse. I'm glad, this is one of the areas in which I'm glad that was not me. As much as I've envied some of these people in the past, I'm glad that was not me. I'm definitely a late bloomer. I definitely did not peak early. And I've heard this from other people. This is just not my only opinion. I've heard this objectively from others. that I'm a late bloomer. I'm someone who started making better progress, getting in, you know, getting fitter, getting leaner, getting smarter, getting wiser, being more productive in later years. I definitely have not peaked yet. Granted, these are the drunken ramblings of a stay-at-home son, so I don't know how much that says. I don't know how of what value that is to the listeners of this podcast, this episode in particular, but nonetheless, it's something to consider. It's something to consider. There's people who peak early and then who are reliving and envying their past selves. Fuck that bullshit. Your prime, your best years, ideally, and I say ideally because it's an ideal, it might not be a reality for most people, should be ahead of you, not behind you. If it's behind you, especially if it's behind you a long time ago when you were really young, that kind of sucks. Let's face it, that fucking sucks. As much as we all wish to have success and be the envy of others when we're young, if by the time we are 30, you're already falling off and nobody gives a fuck, that kind of sucks. So, that's definitely a position I do not envy. So, that's the thing. Another thing about envy is you never really fully know anything about the people that you envy. You might envy somebody because they have a nicer, let's say, body than you, or they're better looking than you, but then what happens is maybe they have, what if they have a medical condition that predisposes them to having heart problems in their 30s and they're dead of a heart attack by 40 and you could live to 80. So do you still envy them? Yeah, they might have been more capable than you while they were alive, but now they're fucking dead. I don't envy dead people. They're dead. I'm alive. What the fuck? So that's the thing. It's like sometimes you envy somebody because they have some quality. Little do you know that you have some predisposition that is better than theirs. You just don't know it because it's not immediately visible. It's not perceptible with the naked eye. Feeling nice right now. But anyway, I know I say put anyway a lot. I know I say in this day and age a lot. I know I say a lot. And I apologize. But I'm just trying to make this podcast organic. This is just the way I talk. Especially if I'm under the influence of alcohol. Which right now I definitely am. as far as I was saying about envy, we've all had envy, so we got to be wary of it. You have to, wary and weary. They mean two different things. Wary means careful or cautious of something. Weary means tired of something. If I'm weary of something, it means I'm tired of it, I'm fed up. And if I'm wary of it, that means I'm cautious of it, I'm careful of it. I may fear it a little bit. So envy is one of those things that we should be both wary, W-A-R-Y, and weary, W-E-A-R-Y, of. Definitely. It's something that can be this is what happens when you drink. Very detrimental to your psychological health. So you have to take that into consideration. As I was saying, do not absolve yourself of the responsibility of doing what it takes just because you're envious of something somebody else has. Now, granted, you may not have what it takes to reach the heights of that other person that you're envious of, or that group of that other group of people that you're envious of, but it doesn't mean that you can't do better than you're currently doing right now. You could always do better. You could always do better. If you heard that chime, that's the battery on my phone is running low. It's at 15%. Which is all fine and dandy because this podcast is at the 55-minute mark. 55 minutes and 11 seconds now. So it's almost over anyway. I've said almost all I've had to say on the subject of envy. I enjoyed it. Because again, it's something that I have direct experience with. I hope that some of you listeners can learn something from this. I'm not even going to tell you don't envy. Do not envy others. Because you can't help it. Envy is in our faces now. We see celebrities all the time on YouTube. Some of us are subscribed to celebrity Instagram pages. Even criminals are celebrated in today's day and age. The cartels, like Sinaloa cartel, has an Instagram page. You know, showing a bunch of beautiful women and golden guns and tigers and shit. Fucking stuff that people wish they had the money to own. I get it. I get envy. But it's not going to help you. It's not going to change your circumstances to just sit there and stew in envy. And stew in misery over all the things that other people have that you feel like you can't get. You might as well just try. Put in some kind of effort. Try to improve your circumstances. What is envying others going to do? It's not going to do shit. It's just going to fucking drive you crazy. I know. Because I've suffered from envy for many years. Still do to a certain extent. Again, the only difference is that now I'm aware of what it is. So I don't let it get to me the way I used to. You could do the same thing. Hopefully you're galvanized to take that step by this podcast. But if not, it's okay. I just want to make you aware of what it is. Aware of the steps that you can take in order to not prevent it. Because I don't think envy is preventable. But in order to treat it, in order to diminish it. I don't think I could ever be completely eliminated. I think even very successful people may envy other successful people that are more successful than them. So I don't think it could be completely eliminated. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's a good thing. Like I said, I don't think envy is totally bad. Because it could galvanize you to positive action. It could serve as the fuel to the fire under your fucking ass that motivates you to go and do something. But you know, to do something, to change your circumstances, to make them more positive. To make yourself happier, more successful, more powerful. But remember, this is only going to come with a responsibility. So think about the people you envy, whether they be celebrities or people that you know personally in your own life. And think about what do they have that you want. And then think about how can I take responsibility for that area of my life more than I'm taking responsibility right now. How can I increase my responsibility in that area? What can I do? What actions can I take? Because it's going to take action. It's not theories. It's not reading. It's not listening to this fucking podcast. Whether or not you listen to this podcast is fucking irrelevant. It's what are you willing to do? What actions are you willing to take within the confines of your own life that are going to improve the quality of said life? I'm recording with my eyes closed right now because I'm feeling nice off the alcohol. 4 shots. I'm surprised. Normally it takes 5 shots to get me this nice. So 4 shots, that's good. Maybe you have lost some weight. I don't know. Lost some body fat. And now I get drunk faster because the alcohol circulates quicker throughout my bloodstream, through my system. I don't know. But how can you take responsibility? More responsibility. And then just do what it takes. Again, you don't have to do it all in one shot. Just little by little, one baby step at a time. For your health, slowly start a workout program, even if it's only 1 day a week. Increase it to 2 days after a month, then 3 days after 2 months, then 4 days after 4 months, so on and so forth. If it's finances, start working. Humble yourself. Be humble. Be willing to start at the bottom and work your way to the top. Be willing to give it the years that it takes. Don't be impatient. Take your time. Success, just like fitness, is a long haul, is a long-term goal, or at least it should be. So take the long-term approach. Keep your eyes on the ball. That's it. That's really all I have to say on the subject. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't be envious, but if you're going to be envious, let it galvanize you. Turn that fucking envy into inspiration. See the silver lining in it. turn a negative into a positive, and take action. We're defined by our actions, not by our thoughts.